In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Greetings, brothers and sisters, on this third Sunday of Great Lent. And good news, we've reached the halfway point of Great Lent. And today at this midpoint, of course, the Holy Fathers have dedicated the Sunday since ancient times to the adoration of the Holy Cross. And the cross, you know, for us Christians really means everything. It's the most central image. You know, it's an image of the struggle of all mankind against the fallen world and its passions and temptations and sins. And this struggle is sometimes called the ascetic struggle. Now, the word ascetic comes from the Greek word asketikos, which literally means to train or to exercise, much in the way an athlete would train for a competition, you know, like the Olympics. And in the case of an athlete, of course, their challenges are to adhere to a training regimen of conditioning so that they can, you know, run faster or jump higher in order to achieve victory in their sport. Now, St. Paul uses the metaphor of an athlete, you know, running the race. Let us run the race with patience, you know, he says, and other things, as an image, really, of our whole life on this earth. So the Christian athlete must build up and condition their spiritual muscles, as it were, and those are the virtues such as humility, meekness, perseverance, charity, purity, diligence, and temperance. Now, building up spiritual strength in these virtues will then put us in the best position to endure to the end and be saved, as our Lord told us. And it's with this in mind that the Church provides us with the exercises, if you will, of prayer, fasting, and doing good deeds as the primary methods for this training. St. John of Kronstadt also offers another view on the cross, in addition to this ascetic practice. He says, to lighten the ascetic burden of the fast, the Holy Church established the bringing out of the life-giving cross of the Lord in the middle of Lent. Let us speak now of the greatness of God's love towards us, revealed on the cross, in order to inspire love for God and a life worthy of a Christian. He, the only begotten Son of God, willed to become man for the salvation of men. He suffered for man the most painful sufferings on the cross and the most awful death. And he commanded that for our salvation, each of us must take his cross and follow him toward heavenly glory. So here St. John really emphasizes that it's out of love that Christ went on the cross for us and suffered and died. I mean, you know, he didn't have to do that from his human standpoint. I mean, this was something he did out of his love for mankind because he created man to be in his image, and when man fell, then, you know, he enacted his plan for our salvation, which was to have the Son of God become incarnate as a man, to suffer and go through death on our behalf, and therefore to overcome death. In his book, The Law of God, Father Seraphim Slobodskoy wrote how the cross is the weapon or the sign of Christ's victory over sin and death. And he described how a teacher once gave the following example in order to explain to his students how Jesus Christ could conquer evil in the world by his cross. For many years, the Swiss fought against their enemies, the Austrians. Finally, the opposing armies met at a certain valley for a decisive battle. The Austrian soldiers, wearing their armor, were drawn up in battle array with their lances extended forward, and the Swiss, beating them with their maces, these heavy clubs with weights on the end, tried without success to break the ranks of the enemy. Several times the Swiss threw themselves on the enemy with blind courage, but every time they were thrown back. They were not strong enough to break through the thick row of lances. Then one of the Swiss soldiers, a man named Arnold Winkelried, sacrificed himself, ran ahead, grabbed with both arms several of the spears pointed at him, and allowed them to pierce his chest. In this way, an opening was made for the Swiss, and they broke into the ranks of the Austrians and won a decisive and final victory over their enemies. So the hero, Winkelried, sacrificed his own life and died, but he made it possible for his people to conquer the enemy. In the same way, our Lord Jesus Christ received in his breast the terrible spears of sin and death, which were invincible for us. He died on the cross, but he also arose as the vanquisher of sin and death, and thus opened for us the way to eternal victory over evil and death. That is, he opened the way to eternal life. Now, sometimes we can kind of lose sight of this as to why the Lord did all this for us. I mean, after all, it's been nearly 2,000 years since he walked the earth in bodily form. And today, most of us, you know, don't see the Lord and his heavenly kingdom with our bodily eyes. And so this might begin to seem kind of abstract to us at times. And then when we struggle to fast and pray and do good deeds, and also when we have to struggle with various illnesses or hardships that come upon us, we might somehow feel that this is unnecessary, or that our struggles are unfair, or that our cross is too heavy to bear. And this might be understandable if this earthly life was all there was, but the fact is that this earthly life is but a prelude of the eternal life to come. There was an account of a man who was handicapped, you know, and he was sort of an invalid, and he just felt that the sufferings that he had with this illness were just too heavy a cross to bear, and he really felt that this was unfair. And so one night, as he was sleeping, you know, an angel came to him and appeared to him and took him to this place, and he showed him this room, and it was filled with crosses. There were huge crosses, there were, you know, medium-sized ones, smaller ones, there were plain ones, ones that were adorned with all kinds of beautiful jewels and things. And he said to this man, you know, since you think it's so unfair about this heavy cross that you're bearing, pick any cross here in this room, and you can bear that cross. And the man looked all around the room, and he found the smallest, tiniest cross somewhere in the corner that was sitting there. And he said, "That's the one that I want." And the angel said to him, "But that's the one that you've been carrying." You know, so sometimes, you know, the perception doesn't match up with the reality. And in the gospel verses, right before the ones that we read today, the Lord had been trying to prepare his disciples by telling them about the sufferings that he was going to go through in Jerusalem. Now, although the disciples loved the Lord and were dedicated to him, they still weren't quite clear on all this. And they still kind of held to this Jewish concept that when the Messiah would come, which, you know, they believed that Jesus was that Messiah, that he would be an earthly conqueror and an earthly king who would conquer the Romans, and he would establish the glory of the Jewish kingdom back in the days like it was in the times of King David or King Solomon. And with this is why when Christ is telling him that he's going to have to go and be crucified and suffer, Peter took him aside and said, "Lord, no way, you're not going to suffer. I won't let that happen, you know." And the Lord suddenly rebuked Peter, and he said, "Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men." And so then the Lord gives us the gospel, the verses that we read today. And he said to all those around him, "Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." And so, in other words, he's showing us that the purpose of our life is not this world. You know, we live in this world, we have to make the best of it and all that. But really, our true home is in heaven, and that's what we should always remember. So let us consider what great love God has shown us in submitting to the cross for our sakes. And let's show our love for God by following him toward his heavenly kingdom. Glory be to our God.